Our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads is not the tallest man on earth, but he's tall. He admits that himself in his new book called Hillsider, Snapshots of a Curious Political Journey. On the phone with us this morning, the author, our mayor, Don Ness. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Nice to have you on the line with us. So when did you realize that you were contemplating a book?
Well, you know, for many years I'd been thinking about writing a book and reflections on political life, and it was but it was last December when we were down at Laura's parents down in the woods in southeastern Minnesota that I came up with this concept for kind of a book of very short essays along with, you know, photography and art and kind of a quick hitting book. And And I was inspired by the idea and said, I'm just going to go for this. And I wanted to complete it while I was still in office and kind of allow it to be kind of a bookend, so to speak, of my political career and kind of end this part of my life and then be able to kind of move on and feel satisfied that I was, you know, be able to share my thoughts and reflections on public life.
It is a wonderful blessing that digital photography came along when it did, because this book would have been a lot, I think it would have been a lot more difficult. Not only would it have been more difficult to pull together financially and logistically, but I don't think there would be the incredible wealth of photographs that are in this book. And I said to you before we went on the air, I meant it as a compliment. It's like a picture book for grown-ups, because it's got little accessible, like you say, chunks of text and lots of illustrations that encourage you to pore over them and recognize area landmarks or area folks. And this was the way you had envisioned it from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I think it's about what technology allows for, and you know, it's something that I've enjoyed doing in public life, is to kind of take sometimes stale concepts and say, how can we do this completely different? And sometimes technology provides opportunities, or, you know, having this wonderful talent in the city of Duluth, and of course the beautiful landscapes that inspire these photographers and artists to do their thing. And, you know, kind of being in a position to kind of have a pretty unreasonable expectation or idea that, hey, what if we go out and ask all these friends to contribute their talent, and then we'll kind of piece together this mosaic story about Duluth over the last 15, 20 years and kind of, you know, my process of growing, oftentimes struggling as a young politician, and kind of throw all these things together in this mosaic narrative form.
So did your ideas and the ideas that you had for the text drive the photos, or was it vice versa? Did the photos that came in shape what you wanted to write about?
Well, it was a little bit of both. I mean, we did have this idea of, you know, we wanted the pictures to capture a tone or to, you know, to set the context of it. And so, you know, it may be even pretty subtle, but the book is broken down into three segments. And so the first segment is kind of about youth and idealism. And so we use pictures that have kind of brighter colors and kind of that, you know, bright, almost optimistic feel to it. The middle section is kind of the darkest days. And so we use kind of storm, big storm clouds and lightning storms and much darker tones. So, you know, we were definitely looking to find pictures that would help tell the story and set that tone. But then clearly we were reacting to, you know, these beautiful photographs and saying, boy, I'm not sure exactly how we're going to use this picture, but I know we want to use this picture. You know, just we were constantly shuffling the deck to try to, you know, again, create this mosaic form.
The book is fascinating because it goes from micro to macro to micro to macro, and it keeps you about the time you think you're reading a history, it turns out you're reading a biography, and then it turns out you're reading a history again. how would you categorize it? It talks about everything from things that happen citywide to wonderful personal events like your marriage, the birth of your kids.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a reflection of the experience of mayor, in which, you know, it is about community. It is about a personal story. And then it's part of this much broader political system, our democracy in this country. And those things blur together, and you move very quickly from one to the next. And so part of the form, we want to capture that, how quickly things move, and that it's not necessarily helpful to kind of create these categories or these buckets and say, well, this is clearly only about family, and this is clearly only about community, because they blur together. So, and we also want to make it accessible, you know, that this is not only a book for people interested in politics. This is not only a book for people that are interested in Duluth and this chapter in Duluth's history. We want it to be, you know, kind of quick hitting. If people aren't interested in politics, there's certainly enough for them beyond that, but there is enough kind of political insight for folks that want that experience.
I was really surprised and thrilled at the way you took something that has been presented or that has come to people's attention, and it has been extremely controversial in the past, and in your very matter-of-fact, philosophical, owning it style, you addressed a little chunk of text in the book to unearned privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it's the unearned advantages of being a white male, having, you know, even physical characteristics that people kind of project leadership towards. And, you know, I think about, you know, the times that I was given the benefit of the doubt. You know, here I am, I'm in high school or in college, and in some ways people kept kind of pushing me towards leadership positions or encouraging me, even though it wasn't really part of who I was at that time. And you think, you know, during the time, you just think, well, that's just the way it is. But reflecting back, I'm quite certain that, you know, those little subtle advantages of saying, well, this person looks like, you know, our traditional idea of what a leader looks like. And so we're going to kind of encourage or support that person in these leadership positions. And so the message in the book is, shouldn't every kid have that same opportunity, whether they're a person of color, whether they're a woman, whether they're, you know, maybe not look like what the traditional form of a leader in our country.
If they're vertically impaired.
Well, any number of things. And so we, as a country and as a society, limit our potential when we don't give every single child, no matter what their background is, the same advantages that I was lucky enough to have.
And so try to see maybe the leadership possibilities in more people instead of less.
Right. And from, we need to have leaders that do reflect different segments of our society. And we, as a country, really limit ourselves if we're only saying leaders need to look like tall, white males, because that's, you know, how what they look like back in the 1950s. You know, we if we're going to thrive as a society, we need to have leadership reflect what America actually looks like.
I have to tell you a funny moment from yesterday. A friend of mine, a photographer, came into my office and we were chatting about your book, and he said, yeah, I'm on my way to get a copy. And I said, well, I already have a copy. And I opened up my PDF and we were chatting about it. And I said, That's right. I was looking at some pictures. I said, he used to be Donnie all the time. I wonder when I'm going to ask him when he made the switch from Donnie to Don. And the next page was from Donnie to Don. And I went, okay, fine. And then it occurred to me this morning also that you and Ron Howard share an equal transition with a community of people that were committed to knowing you as Donnie, or in his case, as Ronnie, and you had to draw a line and say, no, now I'm Don. He had to draw the line and say, now I'm Ron. And now you have gained respect as adults. Have you ever thought about the close, close parallels between your life and Ron Howard's?
Well, yes. And actually, that goes way back to high school when some of the guys on the basketball team called me Opie Cunningham because I just had that that Ron Howard sort of look and feel to myself, the skinny neck and all that. But, you know, beyond that, in terms of my adult life, it is a big part of this book and my experience in public life in Duluth is that in many ways I did grow up in front of this community. And people saw me starting out as this, you know, skinny, idealistic kid running for city council. And then all of those life changes, getting married, having kids, running for mayor, and you know people have kind of followed along that process, and even that transition from you know being kid counselor Donnie Ness, and people kind of you know having ownership in that idea and almost liking that idea, but then I'm aging out of that, and I you know got married and had kids, and like you know what, now is time for me to kind of adopt a different persona or a different idea that would define my public life going forward, and you know the name thing was something you know very it was both important for me personally, but there was also symbolic importance. It's like this is a new chapter, and you know I'm going to try to capture a different tone.
Well, they say that we teach people how to treat us. And you, at least, will always be able to point to a specific time in your life when you became an adult and you admitted, I have become an adult. The rest of us, we're still wondering, what has happened to us and when did this happen? But you know.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, that it was an extremely awkward and painful transition to make. And people were, you know, people were respectful and kind of understood why I was doing it, but they didn't like it. And you know, there was a lot of even ridicule of that idea of like, I'm, you know, now he wants to be called something else. And yet, you know, we kind of went through that and came out on the other side.
We did indeed. Don, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And if folks are interested in getting more information about your book, is there a website set up? I know that people can access information on Facebook. Do you have some information? Does it have its own Facebook page, for example?
Well, we do have a website. It's donnessbook.com. And we have a few sample pages there. Folks can order the book online. I think we're just now getting the digital copies for sale on off the website as well.
All right, so we'll get a link set up if folks would like to take a look at some of those pictures and get more information. Don, once again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa.
Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.